Let me direct your attention to the very bottom of that front part of the sheet. It's our memory verse for today. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. As we focus on that this morning, I want to use another analogy, and I think it is appropriate. High school football began Friday night for a lot of you. And so you are in that mode once again of rooting for your team, or maybe you're waiting for next weekend when the college season begins, or maybe even the weekend after that when the professionals get together and we root for the Bears and some of you for the other guys who will remain nameless. So a little football story to get us started. Some of you remember the legendary coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Newt Rockne. He was very inspirational, always lauding on the troops, getting them inspired for victory. And so, in those days, well, you couldn't necessarily count on going into the professional ranks. So if you wanted to stick with football, you pretty much had to be a coach or maybe a scout. So there was this guy, he wanted to do that. He wasn't going to play professional. He wanted to stay in the game, and so he went to Coach Rockne. And he asked what he could do, and the coach said, well, you can be a scout, and you can help find other good football players. Well, coach, what kind of players are you looking for? And the coach said, well, you know the guy that when he gets knocked down and he stays down? He says, yeah, I know that guy. You don't want him, do you, coach? No, we don't want him. Well, you know the guy that gets knocked down and then he gets back up, but then he gets knocked down again, and he stays down. Says, yeah, I know that guy. We don't want him either, do we, coach? Because no, we do not want that guy either. But you know the guy. You know the one that gets knocked down, and he gets up, and he gets knocked down, and he gets up, and he gets knocked down, and he just keeps getting up time after time after time. You know that guy, right? Says, yeah, coach, that's the guy we want, right? No, we don't want that guy either. We want the guy that keeps knocking everybody down. That's the guy we want. And that's the people God wants us to be. You know, too often as a people of God, we are on the defensive. And we're getting knocked down. And yes, we need to get back up. But we need to be that guy that is knocking down the enemy. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to be equipped to fight the war in which we are engaged. And make no mistake about it, we are in a war. It's a war that's unlike any other war that has ever been fought. It's not a physical war. It's a spiritual war. There in your notes, take a look once again at these words. Paul writes, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You can't see it, but this war is being waged right now in this room. You can't see the bullets that are flying overhead. You can't hear the bombs that are exploding, but it is real. It's being fought here in the church. It's being fought in your home. That's why these days more children are rebelling against the church and against their parents than at any time in recent history. It's why even though the divorce rate is going down in our country, it's going up among Christians because of the unseen war that's going on in your home. And in your head, it's going on here too. For all of us, no matter your status, no matter who you are. In fact, we read again this last week that there was a pastor who lost the battle, who was trapped in the world of child pornography and adultery. And there is the battle in the heart. Every day there is the struggle to do what is right, to make the right choice, to do the right thing. to struggle against the culture and the ways of the world and the devil, and instead to follow the Lord and to do what is right. And this is a war where if you are a Christian, you cannot remain neutral. You can't be Switzerland in this one. You can't say, no. It's not my fight. Not going to get involved. You're in the war. In fact, C.S. Lewis had once said that every inch of this universe and every second of every day is claimed by God and counterclaimed by the devil. Or as the Bible says, you are either for Christ or you are against Him. There is no middle ground. And as the people of God, then, we had better be on our guard. We had better be prepared for the attack. As Paul wrote, on this evil day. Now, when is the evil day? It's now. It's today, it's tomorrow, it's every day, because Satan doesn't take a day off. And so we need to be prepared. If you turn over your notes, we can see how best to be prepared. In World War II, General Douglas MacArthur, a famous war hero, said there are four things that any army needs to do in order to win the war. Four things that are necessary. Number one, there must be high morale. In other words, you have to believe you're going to win. I could ask some of the football players here, if your coach said on Friday night, sorry guys, doesn't look good, pretty sure we're going to lose. Yeah, pretty sure we're going to get annihilated this week. Good luck! No, you need to know that you're going to win. And you have to have a cause that is worth fighting for. Secondly, MacArthur said that you have to have strength. You need to be equipped. You need to be trained. Thirdly, you have to have the right supplies. That's what the enemy always does, cuts off the supply line. Army lives on its belly, no food, no strength, no victory. And all of those are important. But the fourth thing, he said, is by far the most important. And he quotes, the greater the knowledge of the enemy, the greater the potential of victory. The most important thing is to know your adversary. And my friends, we do know our adversary. We know the enemy is the devil. Again, the memory verse, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's the enemy. Last night we had a bunch of the baseball players from John's summer team over, and we were talking together with a lot of the parents. It looked like a Lutheran gathering because the men were in one place and the women were in another, but we were talking, a lot of the families are Christian people, but they aren't all Lutheran, and we got into an interesting conversation. So often we think the enemy is the other churches. My friends, the Catholics are not our enemy. Willow Creek is not the enemy. The Methodists maybe, but I'm kidding. I'm kidding, all right? They are not the enemy. The enemy is the devil. And the Bible points out exactly what he's like. Now, too many people ignore the devil. Or we make fun of him. He's a cartoon figure. You know, the guy with the horns on his head and the pitchfork and the long red underwear. Nobody goes along like that. Or we do the opposite. We go to the other extreme and we obsess. The devil made me do it. We find him under every rock and in every crevice and in every circumstance. But that's not the picture that the Bible gives to us. 2 Corinthians says that the devil is an angel of light. He's an angel. He's a fallen angel. And he tries to trick us. He has the world deceived. if he were dressed in human flesh and blood, he would look warm and welcoming and kind and considerate and gracious and generous. That's why so many people in the world follow after him and they don't even know it. But when he's unmasked, we see that he is evil incarnate. That he is the most wicked creature on the face of the earth. And he is angry. He is very angry. You see, he wanted to be the king of the world. But then he fell because of his pride. Remember those battles in the New Testament that Jesus had with Satan? There in the wilderness when he was tempted. We have three that are recorded. What we fail to realize is that Jesus was tempted for 40 days. 40 days the devil was attacking him. There was this battle. And of course, Jesus wins. And Satan's not happy about it. Finally, a couple of years later, the devil thinks that the tables have turned, that he's actually won when Jesus is hanging on the cross, and in his last breath, he says, "It is finished." And the devil thinks, "It means I've won. The battle's over. It is finished." Imagine his surprise 3 days later. When Jesus rises from the grave and he's alive. And just so the devil wouldn't miss the point, he descends into hell to proclaim the victory. And the devil knows that he can never win the battle against Christ. So this is what he does. He cannot defeat the king. So he wants to defeat the army. Satan's one goal is to lead God's people to hell. And if he can't do that, he wants to rob you of the joy of your salvation. He wants you to believe that the goal in this life is simply to limp somehow into heaven. But that's not why we're here. We're God's army. We have been appointed each day to win our own battle and to influence the world around us so that others might see the light of Jesus Christ as well. Now we need to understand that Satan is dangerous. On our own, we're not going to win that battle. It would be like me trying to arm wrestle one of the Chicago Bear linemen. Wouldn't turn out so good for me. I'd lose that every time. And so will we. If we are trying to fight the devil with our own willpower, with our own abilities, with our own strength, we're going to lose every time. Satan is dangerous. But the good news is, he is not invincible. And so we're not going to fight him on our own terms, on our own power, but we're going to fight him on a supernatural plane. Remember, Jesus has already won the victory. And we're on his side. The victory's already won. It's just that there are these skirmishes every day. And so what are we going to do? We're going to put on the armor of God. We're going to be equipped. We're going to be prepared. You see, Paul says, not only wear the armor, but keep it on. That's where our problem comes. We have the armor. We have the helmet of salvation. It was given to us in our baptism. We have the shield of faith, the shield of righteousness, the belt buckle of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace. But we get tired sometimes. We think this helmet of salvation is a little clunky, a little unwieldy. I don't look good with the visor down. I'm going to take it off. It's hard to sleep with that thing at night anyway. Sometimes the belt of truth gets a little constrictive. Put a few pounds on over the weekend, and when I, you know, it's going to constrict a little bit. And so it's okay to accept some of the false truths of the world, maybe. And that shield of righteousness, always doing the right thing, that gets tiresome. I think I'll put it down for a little bit. Paul says, no. You've got the armor, now wear it. Because when you wear it, you are protected every single time. And not only that, you can go on the offensive. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How did Jesus defeat the devil in the wilderness? Did he do it as the Son of God? Did he call down angels from heaven? No. He says the Word of God says, just like you and I can do. Just like we sing on Reformation Sunday, a mighty fortress, Luther wrote, one little word can fell him. What word is that? It's the Word of God. It's the word of the cross. It's the image of Jesus himself. You have that sword. Now use it. We're in a rumble, my friends. We're in a war. And the good news, once again, that God has equipped you for the battle. Greater is he who is in you, that is Christ, than he who is in the world. In 2 weeks, we get to resume Christian Education Hour. Bible study. Confirmation. Sunday school. Let me encourage you to be there. And though all of our classes are great and all of our teachers are wonderful, I'm going to call out the guy there in the back. He's hiding. Don Kearley's teaching a class about the 7 men who have influenced the world, but not in a good way. The 7 men from history who have changed the way that our culture thinks, leading us away from the truth of God to the false truth of the devil. And we're going to ask the parents of our confirmation students to go to that class. Why? So that you might be equipped with the armor of God. So you can then give that same gift to your children. Because we're in a battle every day. A battle for the joy of your heart and the happiness of your marriage and the welfare of your children and the security of your home and the influence that you have on the lives of people around you. So be equipped and be ready. Know that Jesus Christ has already won the victory. And every day, you can win the battle. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.